Oh, this is nice.
I love to spend time out here, you know, when the sun's shining, it's a little warmer. This is beautiful.
Annie Ropeek and I interviewed Paul Newman in his backyard. It is pretty looking out on Monon Bay. We can't see it from here, but the bay meets the Tippecanoe River, which flows into Lake Schaefer.
A few months ago, Newman and his neighbors felt that natural beauty was being threatened.
The thing that concerned me the most was probably the bacteria and the flies that we'd have to deal with in the summertime. And the second thing, and maybe even number one, would have been, if it was within a mile, I would have been very concerned about the property value.
The it he's talking about is a CAFO, or confined animal feeding operation. They're those long, skinny barns with big exhaust fans on the sides that you've probably seen off county roads. A CAFO houses, feeds, and raises thousands or even tens of thousands of livestock under one large roof, animals like pigs, cows, and chickens.
It makes a lot of financial sense for farmers to consolidate like that. But they have their downsides for surrounding residents, side effects like the bacteria and flies Newman was worried about. You can also imagine the smell that 4,000 hogs give off.
So that's why Newman and his neighbors set out to fight the CAFO off. But they didn't have a lot of legal ground to stand on. The farmer proposing the CAFO was Greg Rice, another Monticello resident who wanted to build on his family's own land.
We've been on this property for 113 years.
Rice grows mostly corn and soybeans. The family used to raise hogs, too, but stopped about 15 years ago because they weren't making enough money off the operation. He saw a CAFO as a more efficient way to expand.
It would have been a very good way for us to go because not only were we going to get some income from the pigs themselves, but we were going to have the manure value.
That means instead of having to buy fertilizer for his crops, Rice could have spread the manure from the pigs he wanted to raise onto his fields.
So we have a farmer trying to expand his operations and a community worried about environmental quality. Some basic state rules always govern these arguments.
The Department of Environmental Management keeps CAFOs a few hundred feet from houses, waterways, and wells, and they've started overseeing more about manure and fertilizer in the past few years, too.
But they don't go around taking water samples or doing inspections at every CAFO all the time. They don't regulate noise or smell, either. If a county wants those stricter rules, it has to create them itself. Paul Ebner is an animal scientist at Purdue University, and he said counties use zoning rules to prevent conflicts over how the land is used. Basically, they help everyone get along.
You have two uses that are perfectly legal and they're perfectly fine, but they might not really be compatible right next to each other.
Ebner helped study county CAFO rules for the state last year. His team found a lot of variation, and they don't know much about what's working to reduce complaints or protect water quality.
That's a big, big research question because, you know, you can look at these distances and a lot of them are seemingly arbitrary. You know, it's really difficult to know whether 1,000 feet is enough, 1,500 feet is excessive.
So without many statewide standards or much research, counties don't receive a lot of guidance. That's partly why a lot of them end up with no rules at all or pretty lenient ones.
Which is what makes White County so unusual. Residents argued for a big distance between CAFOs and the lakes, and county officials wound up agreeing. They're expecting to finalize a mile-and-a-half buffer zone rule by July, denying Greg Rice's CAFO in the process.
The resident who led that charge was Bonnie Woods.
It's just common sense. We start taking 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% hits in property values. Where does that tax money come from? What happens to your budgets?
After arguments like that didn't convince local officials, she says she put her foot down.
I said, I'm not going away. I said, you can have this little dog and pony show all you want. I said, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be here every meeting. I'm going to take a stand every meeting. And we're going to work on this and we're going to make things right.
Woods argued that she was representing hundreds of families and millions in tourism dollars that depended on the health of the lakes. And now she's hoping other counties might follow their lead. The Tippecanoe River runs through 8 counties with more than 300 CAFOs and 4 million farm animals between them.
But all those counties have really different regulations, and no one else's rules directly protect the river or the lakes it feeds. So even if White County is preventing runoff, other sources can still put it into their water. Reporting in Monticello, I'm Nick Jansen.
And I'm Annie Ropeek for Indiana Public Broadcasting.